This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, we're all putting best team in the league debates on the shelf in a box for the time being. The Bills go from absolute domination of the Jaguars and the Dolphins before that to a beating of their own at the hands of the Ravens last night, 35-10. Eric Wood was at this game and joins us now on the West Her Hotline for his regular Monday visit. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. So were we all crazy last week to think that the Bills were, you know, as close to perfect as a team can look in the NFL? I mean, I know this is the league, but just what did we learn last night that maybe we could, there could be some things we were taking for granted? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's some obvious improvements that need to happen on both sides of the ball. Last night's what happens when you go into someone's hostile environment, a good team, desperate to get back to 2-2, and not that you're not going in fully prepared, but when you play a team like that and you really don't have your A game on either side of the ball, it can get out of hand quickly, and that's what we saw. This is a Bills run defense that got exposed last night. The Ravens can certainly do that. They're maybe one of one in the league that have, you know, just this truly unique style of having just tons of power in their backfield when you consider the fact that their fullback and running back weigh more than anybody else on our entire defense, maybe outside of our defensive tackles. So defensive side of the ball really struggled to stop the run. That opened up some second-level passing windows. And then when you get very condensed, they had great answers with some bubble screens and play-action rollouts on the outside. And then offensively, just never got into a rhythm throughout the night. You know, you have that costly drop by Kincaid on the first drive that would have moved the sticks past midfield, and on 4th and 2, we decided to punt, which wasn't necessarily against that at the time. And then, you know, just when you get down in a game like that, you know, you look at the pressure percentages, and Josh was pressured on maybe 44% of dropbacks last night, and you say, wow, the offensive line had a terrible night. Well, I wouldn't say they had their best night, especially on the interior. Gets a couple good interior pass rushers for the Ravens, but, you know, it's, you know, you give a defensive coordinator a lot of options when you get the obvious pass situations and you have to deal with the crowd noise. It's harder to communicate and you don't have a whole lot of repercussions by just bringing the house and giving a bunch of goofy looks, and the Bills struggle with that as well.
I want to ask you this as a dude who's just sitting on my couch jamming a sausage royal into my mouth while I'm watching the early games. When the Jets lost to Denver, I felt like, okay, well, tonight's not that big. You know, I've got a little more room than I had when the day started. And, you know, that game was kind of, it was close enough that, you couldn't have assumed it was going to end one way or the other as it was unfolding until really the very end. Is it, and again, this doesn't have to mean anything because the Bills might have just gotten whooped no matter what. If they were in for a whooping, bad matchup, whatever it was. But would you respect at all the Bills, the guys on the team going like, oh, the Jets lost? Like, does that hold any water with you at all?
No, not really. Okay. And just because I guess I've been in similar situations. I wasn't sitting at number one in the power rankings at any point in my career. But, you know, there was – you know, different times where, you know, certain news might get you to take your foot off the pedal either one way or the other. And, and look, you know, you get out there on that field in an environment like it was last night. I mean, heck, I was standing down on the field pregame talking to guys, and I'm like, man, it's easy to get up for this one. This is a big-time atmosphere you're in. And so I don't think so, you know. Were they drained a little bit on a short week? I wouldn't even, you know, give that too much credit that, you know, they played Monday Night Football and then run it back for Sunday Night Football. I honestly just think it was a bad matchup, especially considering the injuries. And, you know, we've gotten away with, you know, that second level of defense being so banged up and not having to adjust at all. You know, we still play nickel defense, and then you get a team in an obvious pass situation. Okay, now we're going to get, you know, Dorian Williams out the field. We're going to get in our dime package, and that's our comfort zone. Well, the Ravens are the opposite of our comfort zone right now, especially when you add Derrick Henry into the mix, who is so big. And, you know, it was a wake-up call for this defense. You have two new safeties that didn't appear to fit the run real well. Cam Lewis hasn't had experience going against an offense in Baltimore, which a number of the injured guys have had that experience. And so, you know, it was a tough night. Early on, it looked like the fits just weren't there. And aside from just not getting the right run fits, just not enough wins at one-on-ones. And they came later where you saw penetration on a play, and now Derrick Henry's got to start going east and west and not just straight downhill. I mean, he's going to pick up 8 yards if you let him go forward just as big as he is, and if he falls forward. Now, if you get him to stutter step, you get him to go east and west, which we saw a little bit later, then that's how you keep him in check. That's how the Bills, the last time they played him, held him to 42 yards, I believe.
Right. He hasn't only had big games against the Bills, but their last bad loss on the road in the regular season, meaning by more than 6 points, is a Derrick Henry game. The 3 touchdowns, or is that even a different game? Actually, it was. I'm getting confused now because there were 2 night games in Tennessee. But anyway, it goes back to October of 2020, since the Bills have lost like badly on the road in the regular season. Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. What else, Eric, maybe from the standpoint of the Bills' offense in this game? Really just unable to get anywhere on the ground with different backs even. And you mentioned a drop. There were a couple of those. I don't know. Is there anything to learn from beyond that, you know, the matchup isn't right? And that's true with the Ravens and a lot of teams. About what went wrong for them offensively?
Yeah, I think offensively, give the Ravens credit, it seemed like they were not going to the best of their ability, they weren't going to give the Bills too much access on the outside to be able to run those bubble screens. The run game wasn't abysmal by any means. It just wasn't super effective. They weren't able to run the ball down their throat. They also weren't able to stick to it just based upon how quickly that game, you know, became 21-3. And so, you know, looking at it, you know, this team got to find some more answers down the field. And they've been able to stay ahead of the chains. They haven't had necessarily the drops that they had last night. We might be having a slightly different conversation if Kincaid catches the ball in the first drive of the game and Keon Coleman catches the over-the-shoulder catch late in the second quarter. We might be having a touch. I still think the Bills lose if they make both those catches. It probably would have just been a tighter game. But, you know, just being able to push the ball down the field more, and part of that was the complex pressures that the Ravens brought. And this is a copycat league, and I'm not saying the Texans are going to completely abort what they do defensively, but you'd be naive to think that Houston isn't sitting here watching this film going, okay, well, let's play a little tighter out there. Let's make these guys prove that they can separate with tight coverage and, you know, bodying these receivers up at the line of scrimmage, you know, shift to your guys, maybe. Let's be really physical with them and then see if we can bring some different pressure looks to try and speed Josh up in the pocket, because you give him enough time up there, you know, you give him enough time in the pocket, he's going to find open guys. He's going to be able to make some plays, but you get him to start running around, panicking a little bit, anybody's going to be brought down to earth a little bit.
Yeah. It almost never felt like it could be their night, Eric. But a moment in the second half of this game where it felt like the Bills had maybe turned the tables. They get a 3-and-out quickly, score themselves. Allen makes an incredible play rolling to his right, right at the edge of the sideline, and throws it down to Shakir, and they score on the next play. So 21-10, get the ball back again, and 2nd-and-7, and that's where the botched Curtis Samuel pitch to Allen play happens. Your thoughts on the play? I mean, we all been in this long enough to know that, you know, something like that works. It's flower time for the coordinator and the players for pulling it off. It doesn't work. It's like, why did you get cute and that kind of stuff? How did you feel in the moment, and how do you feel now with, you know, 20 hours to think about it?
Yeah, I didn't like the call, and obviously I got to see the result of it in real time, but you know, that's a situation where, okay, the Bills go down the field and score on the previous drive, but it took a miraculous throw and Shakir breaking his route off down the field and sneaking behind the defense to set them up in scoring position. So it wasn't like Joe Brady was sitting there like, hey, we put together this nice methodical drive on the last drive.
Right.
You know, we're moving the ball now. You know, to him it was, okay, let's take a chance. And, you know, he's a younger coordinator in this league. He's 35 years old. He'll learn from it, but you know, I think there's so much good that he's done this year, calling plays that, you know, I'm not saying you just ignore it, but you know, we probably don't see that one again.
And yeah,
I don't know. To me, I just didn't love it because put Curtis Samuel at the Wildcat quarterback or a direct snap to him and motion Josh Allen out. We haven't done anything off of that yet this year, so instantly antennas are up all over the place on defense, like, oh, okay, what's coming now? I don't know. I just feel like sometimes those are better.
Yeah.
If we've set that up with that look before, or you're in a normal look and now here comes your trickery when you least expect it. So yeah, I mean, I didn't love it, but that's easy for me to say, you know, sitting here.
Sure. As a player, are there examples like I know how we sound. Oh, you got cute. Oh, I didn't like the play. Oh, what are you doing? You know, horrible timing, that kind of stuff. When it blows up and it doesn't work. As a player, do the players have the same reaction? Like, are the linemen like, what are we doing? Why did we do that? Like, or is it just, you know, do your job?
This is not a cop-out. I think it kind of depends. You know, I think back to maybe the first trick play, I'll say, we ran in the NFL. Now, we had run a good amount of Wildcat my rookie year, but we go down to Tennessee and Fred Jackson throws a touchdown to Lee Evans. We had worked it all week, and we were all pumped up as soon as that play called in the huddle. I don't know if this is a play that they've been running since training camp. They've had tons of success with it, and everyone's excited, and they knew, man, if we can get this back within striking distance, we're pulling out this play that we're all fired up about. If that's the case, I would say there's no grumbling. If it's the case where they didn't have a whole lot of confidence in it, and they weren't that excited from the meeting room, and then it's dialed up in the game, I would imagine there's some grumblings.
With Eric Wood, I mean, I agree completely what has to be better or different from this game. It's down the field plays, passing plays down the field. This has been, you've said it already, this has been sitting there all season so far, but against Miami and then against Jacksonville, they really only had to play for a half. And you know, it was only that first game where they came from behind. I wonder, Eric, if the Bills set out to accomplish that, how they do it, or maybe who they turn to. I kind of think they're getting the most they could be out of Shakir. You know, I think he's a nice player, but I doubt he's ready for like twice as many targets, or wouldn't even necessarily be that. Kincaid, to me, is kind of the obvious name, but they're still not really using him in that role too much. I mean, Knox is playing as much or more. I mean, the routes are kind of split. So I don't know if they want to get away from Knox. I mean, they certainly haven't yet.
Yeah, I would say when you look at this downfield passing game and look, yeah, this is the first game that we've been forced to try and push the ball down the field, or that a defensive coordinator has dictated to us saying, we're going to play tight coverage, try and beat us over the top. Let's see if you got it. And so, you know, you brought up great points. I think Shakir remains kind of your underneath guy. And, yes, he can catch a 12-yard route, and he can get yards after the catch. And, you know, he had a long one the other night, but that's kind of him slipping through the coverage.
Yeah.
When I look at it and you're looking at, okay, what are great targets down the field? It's either speed because they get down there fast enough, or they're lanky and then they can elevate. And so, to me, that would be your Kincaid, Coleman's, or Hollins has got some size, but the biggest combination, but he's been unable to connect to him on both of his attempts down the field, would be Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And so, you know, this is not going to be an offense that lives and dies by the deep ball, but, you know, some hard play action that draws down some safety, some shots over the top. And Aaron Rodgers used to make these throws, extremely high percentage throws, and I always couldn't believe how easy he would make them look when he was in Green Bay, those back shoulder throws. Josh completed two of them the other night, or last night, to Keon Coleman. They both go for 20-something yards. He did it against Arizona as well. If you got a guy that you leave one-on-one, and as the defense coordinator, you're sitting there thinking, man, if he breaks one tackle, this could go to the house, and, man, they're going to pick up 20-something yards every time we leave him in press man over there. Maybe that deters them from being so aggressive as well.
The Ravens are kind of back here, Eric, with this win. I would say, just trying to put things into some perspective here, looking at the AFC through the first 4 weeks, or most of it anyway. There's still another game tonight, Tennessee and Miami. But Chiefs at 4-0, and they have problems. They lost another key player yesterday in Rashee Rice. Looking at the AFC now versus before we started, I don't know if it's that different. You know, Baltimore did lose a couple games. The Bengals got their first win, so obviously long way to go here. I think overall, probably most Bills fans would take it, what's happened so far.
Yeah, they would take it. They just wouldn't want that one to look like it did, you know.
Yep.
And you know, that's just reality. It's no fun when you get beat down like that and everybody comes out of the woodwork to, you know, talk about where they think the Bills should be better. But no, looking around the AFC, if Rashee Rice is out for the year, that's a big blow for them. Their obvious number one receiver, the only guy on the team that I believe has double-digit catches on the year, I think I read earlier. And so,
yeah, maybe.
So you're talking about a big loss for them. They're already without Pacheco. They've got some injuries. You know, I wouldn't count out Cincinnati, but their defense does not look good at this point right now. And they've moved on from so many guys on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know if they got the horses over there. Baltimore, to me, they were right there with Kansas City. Feel like they blew the Vegas game. And then obviously, they beat the Cowboys. I think they're going to be a strong squad. And then, you know, you got some scrappy teams. Like, I feel like the Chargers are going to play people tight this year. Are they going to be able to win enough games? You know, I'm not exactly sure. You know, the Jets sitting at 2-2 right now. They certainly have the talent. If you looked at their roster on paper, you'd think this should be one of the best teams in the AFC, but we'll see if they can get there. And then it could be interesting for me tonight watching the Dolphins here with Huntley tonight. You know, see if he can facilitate better than Skylar Thompson, because I mean, they got so much talent on the offensive side of the football that, you know, you'd think that, you know, if you can just get those guys the ball, get them in a track meet, these guys will be able to make some plays. But that wasn't the case last week.
Well, and the Houston Texans are at 3-1, record as the Bills, and that's who's next here. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways we could go here. We only got a couple of minutes left with you, Eric. How much of an effort, if any, do you think there will be internally to make sure guys say the right things about Diggs this week?
Yeah, Sean's pretty – he's pretty in tune to not set other teams up with locker room material. In fact, Josh even kind of started that train last week when he brought up the fact that just because I compliment our guys doesn't mean I'm taking a shot at 14. It was interesting he didn't say his name, but taking a shot at 14. But, I think Sean's going to make sure they say the right things this week. And I think a lot of those guys in the locker room really liked Stephon Diggs, whether he was an issue or not. It seemed like – and just different guys have had my podcast and whatnot, they generally gush over him as a player. You know, other receivers really appreciated what they learned from him and seemed like he would mentor those guys pretty well. But, you know, we'll see if he tries to put on a show this week. And I don't know, at some point I just feel like it's going to implode down there. They just have, I guess with Tank Dell being out right now, things will get more targets. But, like, to me, they got so many weapons down there that – he's just not going to get the workload that he demanded. And he was so excited to leave and so excited to maybe get the ball more, more targets or more value or whatever. And then you go to Houston where they're just loaded with talent.
And Dell, I think, is going to be back. And maybe also Joe Mixon for their Week 5 game with the Bills, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Eric,
spoken like a true Yes. Like a true fantasy expert.
I mean, Eric, it is just a grind as usual right now. All these injuries, you know how it is. You're in the space, you know how it is. It's just grueling.
Yeah. One of my leagues, I have Christian McCaffrey and Rashee Rice, and I was trying to play the conservative long game by stashing T.J. Hockenson on my IR, and now I got three guys that essentially should be on my IR.
Do you have a quick thought on Davante Adams?
As far as...
like, has he played his last down for the Raiders, in your opinion? Would that be your guess?
I don't know. It's tough to say. I would say likely not, but... that's a situation that has not gone well there. And then you have him talking this offseason about, yeah, maybe I was wrong about Jordan Love. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people were, but a lot of us, our careers aren't directly affected by it.
Right. It's always the Jets with the speculation, but now Kansas City might come to mind for Adams if he has moved. Very good. Thank you, Eric. Enjoy your week, and we'll talk next Monday.
All right, appreciate it. You guys, too.
It's our man, Eric Wood, on the West Hare Hotline. His appearances here on WGR are always brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
Rice was the only Chiefs player to have double digits in receptions before yesterday. Kelce kind of returned. With Rice was kind of playing that role, so Kelce, after the injury, ends up with 7 last night to get there. How many Bills have double-digit catches? 2. Shakir and Kincaid. Cook is 3rd with 9 through 4 games. 803-0550. How bad was it? What does it mean? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Football Monday continues after sports. Sal Capaccio will join us at 5. This is WGR.